Hi, I'm Jody Carlton, and I'm a neurodiverse relationship expert. And in this video from my archives, I talk about sexuality and intimacy and how important it is that we have conversations with our partners about our expectations, our preferences, and our beliefs about sex. So many couples don't actually have these conversations, and we fall into the trap of assuming that our partner has similar beliefs and expectations. I'm going to walk you through some things to really think about and consider about your own sex life and intimacy with your partner so that you can improve your conversations about it and hopefully improve your sex life.
Let's talk about stage one of communication. This is our own perspective, our own point of view. So this is how we're approaching this conversation. We also have our own set of terminology and definitions about this particular topic. And you are both bringing those uses of terminology and definitions to this conversation. And if you don't learn how to clarify to make sure that you're hearing and you're understanding, then there's so much room for misunderstanding and misinterpretation, and then room for feeling confused later on when we recall the conversation and you recall it one way, he recalls it another way, or she recalls it another way. So we bring our definitions, our culture, our values. So this is a big one in a lot of topics, but it's really a big one about sex, right? I mentioned in one of the posts for you guys here this week that I'm from the southeastern United States, okay? So those of you in the U.S. probably know that this is the Bible Belt. There's a strong, and just so you know, my background is Christian. And so I was raised in this strongly Christian faith community and culture here in the South. And we don't talk about sex down here. I did have a mother who told me about the birds and the bees. But, you know, it's just a taboo topic and it's uncomfortable. And so it's not something that we did. It was like my mother and I were talking this weekend about how she got pregnant. She's a school teacher. And she got pregnant with my brother in the 60s. And she had to stop teaching because she couldn't be a teacher and have a big belly because then the kids would know she had. So even now, here we are in the 21st century, and it still feels taboo sometimes. We don't feel comfortable being sexual beings. And so depending on the culture that you came from and the messages that you got from the culture that you were raised in, then we stop and think about we're bombarded by sexuality and the social media. Not just social media, but the media in general. Sex is everywhere. But as women, we're also bombarded by being objectified. Men are bombarded by being emasculated sexually, and we're bombarded by these ideas about what sex is supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like. Pornography is so accessible now, depending on what age you are. Before the internet came around, most you could get your hands on with a Playboy magazine. You could not see men and women actually engaged in sex for free with a Google search. So we're bombarded with all of this. And we don't know what to do with that. It's too easy. It's very easy to access. And yet we still have all these values about what it means. We have guilt. We have shame. We have whatever you're bringing to it. You are bringing this to your conversations with your partner about sex and about intimacy. When you want to have this conversation with your partner about your sex life, it's really important to before that conversation, to really stop and really get in touch with where you are and what you believe and your values and what those come from and whether or not they're still yours or if they're remnants and leftovers from what you were taught to believe, what you were told to believe, what society's telling you to believe. So it's super important to get in touch with yourself on all of that because you're bringing that into it. So, okay. Then we also bring just our expectations. And a lot of these expectations are established by our beliefs and our values and what we're seeing in the media, the books we read, the movies we watch. So what do we expect sex to be? What do we expect our role to be as a sexual partner? What do we expect our husband, our partner's role, our wife's role? Guys, if you're on this call, and I hope you are, or at least you will watch the replay, I tend to speak to women because I'm a woman and I apologize, but I'm also speaking to you. What do you expect your role to be? What do you expect her role to be? What do you expect his role to be? These things are running like scripts in the background of your mind and you don't even know it. You don't even realize it. Sometimes we're just not even aware of what these expectations are. And theory of mind means our ability to recognize that someone else has different beliefs and expectations. We, even those of us who are neurotypical, forget sometimes that others don't have the same expectations as us. Those of you who are on the spectrum, sometimes it's really hard for you to recognize that what you expect in a sexual relationship and what you are thinking that your role is and what you think sexual satisfaction means, what performance means, is not actually what she expects it to mean. And so there we're going back to definitions and beliefs. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations and to clarify these things, because we come to these conversations with all these preconceived notions. Something else that we bring is our way of thinking. It's our personality, our way of thinking. Are we black and white thinkers? You know, do we kind of have this or that? Those on the spectrum, you're more black and white. You're more, it's this or that. Those who are not on the spectrum, there's a lot more gray. There's a lot more room for middle ground and differences. So this is something else that we bring to these conversations about sex and about our sex life. Again, different values, different perspectives. This is uncomfortable stuff. Sex is one of those topics that is uncomfortable to talk about. I had to get comfortable talking about it myself. This was not easy for me. Again, Bible Belt girl here. Even as a therapist, I had to get comfortable as a therapist first in my career. And now as a coach, it's kind of old hat and I've been doing it for 20 years. But I had to get comfortable with it too. So I get it. This is uncomfortable. And it's also probably been something that's caused some pain in your relationship. It's super important for you to recognize and understand, come to a place of realization that what your idea of sex is and what you believe is sexual satisfaction, what you believe sex is all about is probably not the same as what your partner believes. And so I encourage you to develop curiosity. Curiosity is a critical component in conversations about sexuality, about your sex life. Ask questions, be curious. Be curious to find out what your partner's beliefs and values are. I want you to think about how you may have barreled through to discussing something with your partner without really stopping and thinking about what you're bringing to it and what he may be bringing to it as well. It can be a little dangerous to think about what he may be bringing to it because you could be wrong. It's dangerous to assume. And we do that actually. We do assume we know what he's bringing to it or what she's bringing to it. So it's important to ask and clarify. So in communication, it's being communicated and it's being received. So there's this two-way thing. And I was actually, before I got on the call with you guys, I was thinking about this live, and I was thinking about how I've witnessed this happen in my coaching calls where a couple actually, I have them talk to each other. Sometimes a topic will come up. And so I'm like, okay, talk to each other. And I sit there and I watch them, and literally she will be talking to him and he will be talking to her. And I'm literally watching them have two totally separate conversations. And they're literally not in the same conversation. She'll say something and then he'll say something in response, and then she'll say something in response and he'll say something. But neither one of them is actually responding to the other. Sometimes when our partner's talking, we're not really listening. We're actually thinking about what we're going to say next. And so one of the things I do with my clients is teach reflective listening. And this is super important for everybody because it's really important to listen, to hear, listen, to understand, listen for meaning, to listen to our partner and then reflect back. Okay, what I just heard you say, and not just play it back like a tape recorder. Oh, I'm showing my age, tape recorder, but paraphrase it and say, and this is stage two, by the way, stage two. Well, we'll get into that, but how we interact. But yeah. This is what happens is when you're trying to communicate something and it's not being received because you're having two separate conversations. And a lot of times that's back to stage one. You bring to the conversation what your goals for the conversation are and all of your preconceived, all this stuff in the background in your head about it. And he's bringing to it his goals for the conversation and all his stuff. And then you guys are having totally separate conversations. And so he doesn't receive what you say. You don't receive what he says. And then everybody gets frustrated. It derails. It becomes an argument. And then you guys do it all over again next time. Rehash. It continues. And it just never gets better because you don't have these tools. And we do feel re-traumatized. And some of that is our triggers. We're triggered emotionally by our previous trauma. And sometimes what we see, what we expect to see, guys, this is a brain phenomenon. When we've lived trauma, this is also what we're bringing to it. Stage one, we are bringing to our conversations with our spouse, with our partner, our former trauma, any kind of trauma from back there, we're bringing that with us. And that influences what we're experiencing. And we tend to see what we expect to see. And we hear what we expect to hear. And if we're programmed to hear abuse, if we're programmed to be demeaned, if we're programmed to be devalued, if we're programmed to be diminished, it's programming. It's written into the script of our psyche. And so that is what we tend to hear, especially in these interactions where you've got someone on the spectrum who is communicating in a way that can really masquerade. It looks like gaslighting. It looks like abuse, but it's really not. It's something different. But we are triggered by this stuff that we're bringing with us. And that's why we feel abused. I've had so many women say, oh, I know he loves me. I know he cares. And he doesn't seem to be like this guy who's trying to hurt me. But everything I'm seeing absolutely looks like abuse. But the thing is it's not. Now, caveat there, some folks on the spectrum, and guys, if you're here, if you're on the spectrum and you're here, this is not you. Because men who are in the spectrum and men who are abusers don't show up for this kind of stuff. Okay. So if you're here and you're paying attention and you're trying to learn, the chances of you being an abusive, narcissistic kind of personality are next to nil, because those guys don't show up for this stuff. It is important to recognize that addressing other issues makes a difference in the bedroom, but it starts with you knowing this about yourself. And this is something I stress to all of you. It starts with you. And so many of you are like, why do I have to do all the work? Well, you don't. You don't have to do all the work, but you got to do your work. You got to do your work. And so many of you are like, well, I've been doing so much work all these years. Yes, I know. And I'm not denying that. You have. You have been doing a lot of work all these years, and you feel like he's not been doing any of it. And I get that. I hear you. But if you still have work left to do, and if there's still things you can do to change things up on your end and fix things on your end, that it's going to positively benefit your quality of life, your relationship, then why the heck would you not do that? That is a win for you. That is improving your quality of life. So yes, recognizing what you're bringing to the bedroom, to the relationship, and then doing your work on that, that's what starts with you. And him recognizing it is optimal, and you can keep beating him over the head about it. And then we can talk more that stage two is about how to communicate so that you are communicating in a way for him to receive. And that's the interactive part. Those conversations are important to identify what sex is, to define what it is and what those expectations are. Because so many men on the spectrum, if you're a guy on the spectrum, I'm talking to you, these definitions of what sex is and what it's supposed to be, and knowing what her definition and what her expectation is really critical and really important. Understanding what your definition of performance is and what hers is, it's really important. Some men feel like performance is just crossing the finish line for himself or for her. And sometimes that's not what it is. So it's just important that you both understand and know what the different kinds of sex are. There's different kinds of sex. You know, sometimes you just want to get it on. Sometimes you want to connect. Sometimes you want to bond. Sometimes you want to cuddle. Sometimes you want a marathon all night long. All of those definitions need to be clarified. And if you or he have a definition that is just, you know, this is what sex is and it's just this and it's always just this, but somebody else has a definition that's different, all that's got to be put on the table and figured out. I want you guys to understand there's so many layers here, but I just want to say that as you learn about this and as you gain insight and awareness and you start to make shifts and adjustments, there is a snowball effect. It's exponential as it can start to change and improve your relationship. So there is hope. There is hope in the ability to make this better.